From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
Hey, welcome back into this, our third final hour on this Saturday of the Pat Miller Program. So very, very glad that you are with us. Well, there's just a whole boatload of stuff going on Capitol Hill and throughout Washington, D.C. right now, but probably nothing bigger than what has happened over the last two or three days in Washington, D.C. So let's go to somebody that's right there. They've been on the floor. They've been in their office. They're having conversations with their constituents and the others holding office like them. Third District Congressman Jim Banks. Congressman Banks, good afternoon to you, my friend.
Hey, Pat. Good to be with you.
Very nice to have you with us. I wish the situation was a little different. I was hoping you and I were getting ready to have a conversation today about it, what it's going to look like going forward, getting us ready for the midterms in Indiana, the fall election, and getting us ready for Inauguration Day in January, because we would take things like this stupid omnibus bill and we would kick it to the curb. I see your footprints on the side of it, kicking it to the curb. I don't see a lot of other people doing it. Tell me, sir, what is it that this bill represents? As it came to the floor this week, you kicked it to the curb, but unfortunately there weren't enough others of your like to do the same. How come?
Well, I'm pretty disgusted by it, Pat. I mean, yesterday the bill passed out of the House. It narrowly passed out of the House. The speaker used something called a suspension vote, which means you put it on the floor without sending it through the Rules Committee. And when you put a bill on the floor as a suspension bill and you suspend the rules, you need two-thirds of the House to vote for it. And this omnibus spending bill got exactly two-thirds. It didn't get more than two-thirds. It got exactly two-thirds of the House vote and passed over to the Senate. But when I read the details of this omnibus spending bill, I got to tell you, it looked exactly like something that Speaker Nancy Pelosi would have negotiated, not a Republican speaker with a Republican majority. And that's what's disgusting to me about it. A majority of the Republicans voted against this spending bill. And in years past, you've heard of something called the Hastert rule. The Hastert rule was that
right,
the Republican speaker would never put something on the floor that didn't have a majority of the majority. And that was thrown out the window yesterday. And Speaker Mike Johnson, who negotiated this deal with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden, put an omnibus spending bill on the floor that continues to spend at levels that have put us at $35 trillion in national debt today. And in 10 years, this level of spending will put us almost to $50 trillion of a national debt. So, of course, on behalf of Northeast Indiana and really all Hoosiers who I talked to who want us to cut the debt, not grow it, I voted against it. But it is still passed, and there are lots of things in the spending bill that are disgusting to me. Over 6,600 earmarks were placed in the bill, including $1 million for the Inner City Muslim Action Network, which has preached anti-Israel, anti-Semitic messages and propaganda. $400,000 earmark to support gender transitions for elementary school students, and an $850,000 earmark for, get this, Pat, LGBTQ senior citizen housing. That was an actual earmark that was in the bill. There was also a $1 million earmark for a coffee shop and a greenhouse for refugees in Minnesota. So that's what your taxpayer dollars are going to pay for as part of a massive number of earmarks in the omnibus spending bill. I've never seen anything like this when Democrats were in control of the House. I can't believe that on the Republican speaker, Republican majority's watch, that an omnibus spending bill like this would pass. But there's another part of it that really angers me, Pat, and that those earmarks I just read you are unbelievable, but there are two earmarks in this omnibus bill for late-term abortion clinics that were actually placed into this bill by senators from blue states. I think one is for New Hampshire, and the other one is for Rhode Island, is where these late-term abortion facilities are. These earmarks that are funding that were placed in it from the Senate that passed out of the House as well. So obviously, I voted against it. I think it's shameful that it passed. Not a good look for the Republican majority in the House. I'm pretty ticked off about it.
Well, when you look, the last count I've got, Congressman, talking to Congressman Jim Banks from Washington, D.C., the last count I have is that 9 Republicans broke away from the majority of the party and voted for this thing. We had Katko from New York, Jacobs from New York, Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, Liz Cheney, big shock, from Wyoming, Upton from Michigan. Upton's not running for office again, so what does he care? Rodney Davis, Illinois, and Jamie Butler from Washington, Adam Kinzinger from Illinois, and Steve Womack from Arkansas. So those are all Republicans, in name only, that voted for it.
That's an old bill. The bill of yesterday, I think 90 something Republicans voted for it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because on this thing that they just sent me from Capitol Hill has this thing dated yesterday. So you're telling me this is from the previous?
Yeah, that's an old one. You know, the one yesterday, I think 110 Republicans or so, voted against it, and about 100 Republicans voted for it. But the key part about that is that a majority of the Republican majority voted against it, and it still came to the floor. And when you have a Republican speaker, they should be stopping any bill from coming to the floor that a majority is against, and that didn't happen yesterday. So, I mean, this bill continues to fund Ukraine, the Green New Deal, late-term abortions and abortions overseas. It doesn't do anything to secure the border. I mean, that's where I draw my red line right now. Is I'm not going to vote for a spending bill that doesn't secure our own border before you continue to send money to Ukraine and around the world and completely ignore the issues that are going on in our own country. So I'm disappointed about it. I'm disappointed in the Republican leadership for bringing it to the floor. It's a massive $1.2 trillion spending bill. And, you know, I know you're not surprised that I voted against it, but
no.
I hope all of your listeners know that something like this, I would never vote for.
Well, people, if somebody who listens to my program would come back and go, man, I'm really surprised that Banks didn't do that. Well, then you don't listen to the program and you don't listen to Jim Banks, because it comes as no surprise to me. In fact, if you had voted for it, you and I probably would have. Well, this would have been your last interview on a program, just so you know. Now, on this particular bill, the way this kind of bill comes to the floor, can the Speaker of the House, as Speaker of the House, can he vote on a bill?
He did. Yeah, he voted for it.
Okay.
It's traditional for a Speaker of the House, oftentimes a Speaker just doesn't vote. But in this case, they needed his vote, so he voted for it. And he's responsible for it because he's the one that negotiated the package in the Senate and with President Biden.
In the name of everything that's holy and righteous, how does he go home to Louisiana, forget everybody else, and stand up against the conservatives in Louisiana, and they all look at him and go, oh, that's okay?
I don't know. I don't know. There are 100 Republicans. I don't know how you go home and explain that you voted for a spending bill that has earmarks for late-term abortion clinics in New Hampshire and Rhode Island. I mean, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you explain that a $400,000 earmark for gender transitions in elementary schools and LGBTQ senior citizen housing and coffee shops and for refugees in Minnesota. I don't know how any Republican defends that. I don't know how you defend a $35 trillion national debt. I mean, I don't know any Republican that doesn't run for Congress that doesn't say, I'm going to go to Washington and address the national debt that's going to cripple the American dream for our kids and our grandkids. And then they get here and they vote for something like this. I don't know how you explain that to your voters.
Well, they must be in a position where they don't think they need to worry about it. And I think some of them better be careful, because I think they probably do need to worry about it. That's just my take. At least I'll tell you this. If this was happening in Indiana, they would need to worry about it. and as well they should. Congressman, we're going to invite you to hang with us for a bit. Let me get to the other side of this short break. We'll pick this back up on the other side. Is that okay?
You got it.
We'll be back with more Straight Ahead right here on Mobile 92.3 FM and 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM, and on the WoWo app.
And we're back at it again. 3rd District Congressman Jim Banks is sitting there with us from Washington, D.C. Congressman, first of all, thank you for hanging on. We're talking more about what happened in the voting on the omnibus bill at the end of this week in Washington, D.C. Maybe I'm too grizzled that things don't shock me anymore, but I will tell you, this one actually does shock me a little bit that many Republicans jumped to the other side because I can't figure out what their intentions were.
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the last segment, I have yet to meet a single Republican running for Congress in America today who, on the campaign trail, doesn't tell their voters that they're concerned about the national debt and they're going to go to Washington and cut spending and vote against omnibus spending bills that spend money that grow a $35 trillion national debt plus. And yet the bill that passed yesterday got over 100 Republicans that voted for it. It's really shocking because you can't say I'm for cutting the debt and then go vote for a spending bill that grows the national debt.
Right.
It doesn't add up.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't compute somewhere along the way. How are you thinking? I mean, because there are going to be some people that are going to ask you questions when you're out on the campaign trail, and I'm not talking about now as the appearances that you make as a 3rd District Congressman, but the campaign appearances you're going to make as a candidate for the Senate seat in Indiana. Not that you do this just to have that vote in your pocket as a candidate, but it doesn't hurt, I don't think, in Indiana. What are you going to say? Because you know it's going to happen. Well, you didn't vote for that thing, but our guy here in our district voted for it. What are you going to do about him? I mean, of course, you know, you're not going to do anything about him. That's a question that's going to come up.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over the state of Indiana. I'll be in every congressional district over the next couple of weeks campaigning. Next week, I have my good friend Don Trump Jr. campaigning with me in Indianapolis and Johnson County, Greenwood, that part of the state. So, I know our Republican voters are fed up with go along to get along squishy Republicans that don't fight back against the Democrats.
Right.
I think this is a case of that. I really do. I'm very disappointed in our Republican leadership for allowing a massive omnibus spending bill to come to the floor that has no reforms in it at all to bring down the national debt and to reduce deficit spending that includes thousands of earmarks for things like abortion facilities and transgender surgeries for kids and the massive DEI woke agenda in the federal government doesn't do anything to stop any of that. And that was the whole point of us winning the Republican majority. You know, we won the majority. Remember, we went through the 15 speaker votes that Kevin McCarthy won, and then McCarthy was ousted and went through all of that speaker mess again and ended up with Mike Johnson. But one big part of those early fights over who was going to be the Republican speaker of the new majority was having a more open rules process where, as conservatives, we could go to the floor and offer amendments to take out these earmarks and a lot of these big spending boondoggles that are growing our national debt. And since Mike Johnson's been the speaker, frankly, Pat, we haven't had an open rule on any of these spending bills. And all of these CRs keep passing and these spending bills keep passing, and there's not an opportunity to go provide an amendment to take out abortion pro-abortion funding earmarks like the ones that passed in the spending bill yesterday. So I'm very disappointed by it, and I hope that the voters go to the ballot box and get rid of the old school Republicans who aren't fighting back, who don't realize that we really are in a war to save our country, and you can either go along to get along with the Democrats, or you can fight back against them. And I think everyone in Northeast Indiana knows that I'm a fighter, and I'm going to keep fighting back against the radical agenda of the left that's trying to destroy this country.
Well, and I know that when you come home, now when you come home to Indiana, the whole state is home for you. But when you come home, when you are in Columbia City, if you vote for a bill like this, those people are going to probably push you off the town square when you're home.
If I voted for a bill like that yesterday, I wouldn't be going to Big G's for breakfast on Saturday morning. Because I know I'd get hell to pay, as I should. I mean, my grandma would be mad at me. My family would be mad at me for voting for a bill that spends money like that, that continues to send the fiscal health of this country down the toilet.
Yeah.
That's what this bill does yesterday. And I know a lot of people in Columbia City that would be I know that they would not be bashful. They would not feel bashful as they shouldn't, to come up and give me an earful. But I want everybody to know who's listening that I'll never vote for a spending bill like this one that looks like something that Nancy Pelosi would have negotiated.
Yeah, and it does. It looks like something she would have negotiated and applauded no matter what. Real quick question before I let you go. Third District Congressman Jim Banks is with us today, as he is every Saturday that he can, and I'm grateful that he's here today. So, setting the omnibus bill aside as best we can, do you feel good about your race for the Senate? Do you feel good about what it is that the constituency of Indiana seems to be looking for in you as a senator? And do you feel fairly good about what you and your staff are going to be able to provide for them?
Well, Indiana is a conservative state, and I believe more than ever Hoosiers are looking for conservative fighters to go to the United States Senate and like I said, fight back against the radical Democrats. And I've got the track record to prove it. I've been the conservative leader in the House. I've gone toe-to-toe with Nancy Pelosi and radical Democrats in the House. And you know, I'm very, very blessed with the support that we have statewide, the endorsements that we have from Republicans and conservatives all over the state. Donald Trump endorsed me. I was his first endorsement of this election cycle. He endorsed us really early on in the race. And on the May 7 Republican primary ballot, Pat, my name is the only name on the ballot, and I'm fortunate and grateful and blessed for that. But it's not by accident. It's because Hoosiers are looking for someone to go to the Senate and shake it up and be a part of the next generation of conservative leaders in the United States Senate to save our country. And I've got the track record to do it. So we still have a fight in November. There's a Democrat primary. I don't know who my Democrat opponent will be in November. I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm going to go out and campaign in every corner of the state to earn the support of Hoosiers to be our next United States Senator. But it's going very well.
Well, I am very glad to hear that. And I'm very glad. I'm hoping that during the course of the summer and into the fall, that my schedule opens up to the point where I can be with you more than a few times on the trail to get a firsthand look at what's happening and to encourage people to realize you in the Senate, what I have come to realize that you in the House. And so let's hope that that all works out. My best to you, your lovely bride, your three lovely daughters. By the way, I saw that recent campaign picture with the three of them. Your oldest daughter, it took me a minute to realize that I wasn't looking at your wife. Okay, she is just growing up like a weed, and it's scary, isn't it?
It is scary. She's got the attitude of my wife too. So
I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that. I'll let you carry that with yourself, Congressman Jim Banks. Thank you so very much, sir. I appreciate you.
Have a good day.
And our appreciation to Congressman Jim Banks for making himself available each and every week. He's a little perturbed. Can you tell? Just a little perturbed. All right. Hey, before we go to our break here at the bottom of the hour, let me talk to you again one more time about the great experience that I had this week going to Condition Red Response. Condition Red Response. If you're looking for pistol mechanics, handgun, if you're looking for shotgun, whatever it is that you want, if it's the kind of weapon you have or may want to have or just want to know about to better protect yourself, you'll find all about it at Condition Red Response. First of all, they're right here in town. terrific facilities, by the way. They're out there on Merchandise Drive, just southeast of Lima at I-69. Very easy to get to. Very nice facilities. And when you go in there, the classroom is upstairs, so you can learn a lot. Back downstairs, that's where you've got the shooting range. That's where you've got the online store. That's everything that you need. You've got it right there, shirts, sweatshirts, things that you need for your guns, in and around your guns. The guns themselves, you can get them all there. And then if you say, but I really, really, really want to have some outdoor shooting experience as well, that's okay. They have another range that they own that's off property, and they can get you there going forward, and it's not really a big deal. So get out there and see them. I had a terrific time with them. Indoor range and everything that they teach you about the rules, the etiquette, and everything you need to know about your guns. Jel, Susan, Chris, James, Nick, they were all there, and they were all amazing. So get out there and see them at Condition Red Response, right there on Merchandise Drive, just southeast of Lima and I-69. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Pat Miller Program as we're in our last half hour, finishing up our day here on this Saturday. Hope you're having a fabulous weekend. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you very, very much for letting us be part of your weekend. And shows today, like today, are good shows. They're not always fun shows. I don't like it when I have to hear Jim Banks talk about why it is that he now is just totally upset in his speaker. That's the thing, too, that kills me. Okay, you've got the Speaker Johnson, who now has not only thrown in and allowed this bill, this omnibus bill, to go forward, but he's done so in a way that not only did the bill make it to the floor, but he was a yes vote on the bill. I don't understand it. I've never met Speaker Johnson, and I've talked to him twice on the air, once just before, once just after he became the speaker. But I've got to tell you, I'm not real sure that I would trust myself a whole lot to have him on the show again to find out what it is that's going on in his head and in his heart and why he's doing what he's doing. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get it. I literally flat out don't get it. And I can tell that Jim Banks is a little dismayed, but that's the way it is. A former senior executive from NBC Universal ignited really, really, really big reactions on social media after saying that the youngest son of the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, his youngest son, Barron, is now fair game because he's had his 18th birthday. Is that the way we've treated children of previous presidents? Did we jump on them as soon as they turned 18? It seems to me that on this program and on others, that when daughters of a previous president, for example, Barack Obama, turned 18, a lot of programs didn't allow that, the dumping on them, the trashing on them, the calling them into question. I didn't allow it on my program. Look, when you vote for somebody for president or for senator or for congressman or for mayor or for dog catcher, you have voted for that person. Now, I understand why some people also want to look at their children because they think that families are an outreach of the effectiveness of a person within their own home. I get it. I genuinely, truly get it. But this thing of going after Barron now and just saying, well, Barron Trump is now fair game. What does that tell you? When you say he's been fair game, just so you know, the post that came out and said Barron Trump turns 18 today, he's fair game now, that post has been deleted. So somebody got to somebody and said, you're being pretty disgusting here, and so they took it off. Disgusting, Turning Point USA founder and CEO Charlie Kirk wrote on X while sharing Singleton's post. An X account named Libs of TikTok shared the post, and it says, it appears, as they shared this post from 2017 to 2018, that included various pictures of Barron Trump. But wait, Libs of TikTok wrote, it's much worse than we thought. It appears NBC exec Mike Singleton has a very creepy obsession with Barron Trump going back years. Breaking 9/11 wrote on X, despicable. Former NBC senior executive Mike Sington calls for libs to target Barron Trump on his 18th birthday. These people are not well. Now, let me say this. If that's how you are, you're not well. You're not well. I had people wanting me to jump all over the daughters of Barack Obama because they maybe said something, just in a little passing side comment on something after something was said or done that his their father had done. And I remember some of you got upset with me. There were some of you that were on the phone with me, and I shut it down. And I said, we're not going there. We're not doing it. So just let that go. I think it should hold. I'm not asking people to treat Barron Trump any differently than how it was that I treated the sons and daughters of previous presidents. I really don't. I just don't get it. One of the people said, Jim Euro wrote on X, so tell us, Mike, do you ever go after fair game when you're face to face, or mostly just when you're in your bunker? That's a good question. There's an interesting thing in society right now. I've had this with people coming out on podcasts or on Facebook or on other pages and platforms over the years, where they are supporting me with stands that I have taken, or they are absolutely totally against me. And I will tell you, there's a bit of anonymity that people can use sometimes online, and they get away with a lot. I do not disparage people that want to be against me, that want to take a stand against me or some of the positions I hold. I don't like it when they hide behind mommy's skirts, or in this case, behind the banner of what's going on relative to social media. I don't know how it is you do that. See, I can't do that. And I'm not saying I'm great, big, and proud, and brave, and all that. I'm just saying people in my position can't do that. Once I open this microphone right here, once I open that thing up and I make a statement, I can't run and hide from it. It is what it is, what it is. Well, some people can't do that. Some people can, and they do it. Sington with Newsweek said he never intended to invite or wish physical harm on anyone. I posted he was fair game now, meaning as an adult, he's fair game for criticism from the press. For what in the press? I mean, what's he doing? Is the Trump kid out there, is Barron Trump out there making political statements, making political stands, that now he's fair game because of this? I don't even know what stands Barron Trump has taken. I would assume on a lot of issues that Barron Trump probably stands right in line with what his dad stands for and has stood for and will stand for, because that's his dad, and they're the same party, they're the same family, they're the same faith, they're the same yada, yada, yada. But I don't know that it's true. Have your children ever stood with you on every decision you've ever made? Don't give me the platitude answer. I'm talking about seriously. Do you think your kids have ever stood with you to every jot and tittle of everything that you've said relative to any position, whether it's a position about faith or the school or who your favorite ball team is or what you think about cars or what you think about how it is they should spend their money? Have you ever had a kid stand with you absolutely lockstep with you and that's it? Because I'm betting that probably is not the case. I'm just assuming it's not the case. Sington said, I posted he was fair game now, meaning as an adult, he's fair game for criticism from the press. Based on what should the press have criticism of Barron Trump? Too tall? Well, you know, the president has criticized him about that himself. Is he too tall? Is he too wealthy? Is that his fault? Someone pointed out to me fair game could mean fair game to be harmed. I don't wish physical harm on anyone, he said. So I took it down. So, yay for you. I made a stupid, wrong decision. People made me realize that it was wrong, and I realize now it was wrong. And so I've stepped away from it. Well, there you go. Hey, I've got my favorite topic coming up in our last segment today. EVs, electric vehicles, are they more likely to make it as to not make it as we move ahead in society? We'll talk about all of it straight ahead in our last segment right here on WOBO 92.3 FM and 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WOWO 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WOWO.com.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Our last little bit of time together this weekend. Again, and I know I say it a lot, but I mean it a lot. Thank you very, very much for finding ways to be part of what we do here. Remember, you can email me when I'm here or even after I'm gone. Pat Miller, all one word, no dots or dashes. Pat Miller at wowo.com. I don't know if you know this, Mr. Producer. I can't send them to my Facebook page any longer for the radio program. WOWO's Pat Miller, it doesn't exist. They booted me off. And then they sent me this thing, if you'd like to, you know, advocate, if you'd like to, you know, complain about blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction. I'm just goodbye. See ya. So I don't need Facebook. But if you want to sit there and if you want to write me, you can write me Pat Miller at wowo.com. You can do it on our texting line at 46862. That's 46862. And you can do it one of two ways. We used to always say, let me ask you a question there, sir. Turn your microphone on for a minute because I need your help on this program. Because we used to always say when we were on the weekday program that if people wanted to send us something, just go to 46862, text the word WOWO, and then send it right here. I think it would be easier now if we had them text it to Pat. Don't you?
I think so.
So yeah. So 46862, Pat. And that way, even if something hits you, like you're listening to a replay of my podcast on Tuesday maybe, and you go, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. I should have said something to Miller about that. You can still do it. 46862, text the word Pat, and then that way they won't mess with it, and I'll know to look for it.
Yep.
So does that work?
That'll work.
And if you see something, you handle it.
Okay.
Okay. He's never going to handle it, just so you know. No, he's a absolutely fabulous producer. And just as he was great as a producer for me all week long, every week that we were on, now he's a great producer for me on the Saturday program, stepping out of the box just a little bit, being stronger, brighter, smoother. I'm here to tell you, he's no better looking. Okay, so that part didn't transfer and all that, so you figure that out on your own. Okay, let me go to this story that I wanted to get to. Environmental extremists, government officials have been trying to push EVs, electric vehicles, on us for years. When the prices of gas shot through the roof during the Biden administration, the demand for EVs skyrocketed for a while. But now, the shine of EVs, almost with the prices of gas beside, the shine on those products is starting to dull, and it looks like it's happening just as fast as it started because people are starting to see the major flaw that is the EV. When EVs were first developed for mass consumption, automakers set extremely bold forecasts and lofty goals for the future. But now, it looks like the hype is starting to wane. There's a big shock. As companies are beginning to focus on consumer choice and their bottom line rather than they're looking at government intervention. Listen, government should not be intervening on it. They shouldn't be making us buy electronic vehicles. They need to leave us alone. Companies like Ford, GM, Volkswagen, Mercedes, Aston Martin, for those of you that are slightly better heeled than I am, they're just examples of brands that are now scaling back their EV production. Look, even Elon Musk, and I like Elon Musk for the most part, but even Elon Musk and his Tesla company is estimating to account for 50% of all U.S. EV sales. And they say that there may be a notably lower rate of growth for Tesla this year because of that. Now, according to Marin Jaja, Chief Operating Officer for Ford's EV division, the demand in 2021 and 2022, that demand was a temporary market spike. We all saw it. A lot of you wrote me, see, Pat, they're going to start demanding it. We're going to EVs and all that. But even now, even Ford is saying that was a temporary market spike. And now it's still growing, but not anywhere close to the rate that we thought it might have in 21 and 22. Companies like Ford are increasing production of hybrid vehicles, which makes for a much easier transition for consumers who likely aren't ready for fully electric vehicles. See, that's the part, too, that I think they've missed the mark. If you want to sell me on EVs, then sell me on a partial EV. Sell me on something that's an EV until I have to have gas, and I can flip a switch and go to the gas engine. If I'm coming home from Indianapolis and there's snow and ice on the road, it's taking much longer than we thought, and all at once the warning light comes on, and my car is about ready to shut off, and I am still 90 miles from home. And who knows in the storm how close I am or am not? Who knows how close I am or am not in being able to find a charging station? I'm wondering where that's going to come to be as going forward. Look, this is not a political statement for me. I don't want Kim and I to be out in the middle of nowhere and have no way to power our vehicle. And I'm not interested if we're trying to get home in a snowstorm and saying, well, if you just go 5 more miles up here, there's a charging station. And when you get there, there are 9 people waiting to charge. I don't want to sit there for 6 hours waiting for my turn to charge. That's not my idea of a great vehicle. Volkswagen of America CEO Pablo Dacy told CNBC that the balanced approach is the best way. In other words, balancing between an electric vehicle and a gas vehicle, or between gas and electric within the same vehicle. Some automakers are still promising all-electric lineups, including Volvo, which said it plans to do so by 2030, and GM says it plans to do the same by 2035. But that gives them an awful lot of time for an out. You say, yeah, we're going to do it, but we're going to do it by 2030. That's in 6 years. Or 2035. That's in 10 or 11 years. Meanwhile, a lot of companies right now are starting to sit down and they're monitoring things like consumer sentiment, EV charging infrastructure, to help them decide on plans and goals moving forward. Ford has significantly slowed down the production of the F-150 Lightning truck due to slumping sales. That's a truck that I was actually looking at, okay, because I like an F-Series truck. My car is a Fusion. Kim's is an Escape. Ford is stopping making sedans, so I've got to move to some kind of a truck-based vehicle going forward, and I thought, well, maybe it's time to go to an F-150. Well, I thought about the Lightning truck. There's no way I'm touching it. Absolutely no way. The last thing I want is to not be out in a Fusion where I lose my electric connectivity, but to be in an F-Series Super Duty truck and I lose my connectivity. That's not a good deal for me. I'm not ready for that. And technically, I don't think you would either. Now, Tesla has the large, significant share of the EV market. Most average consumers remain skeptical of the vehicle. And skeptical of the Tesla, by the way. As interest rates skyrocketed, as raw materials and their costs rose, EVs have become much more expensive when compared to gas-powered. And I didn't even have a chance today to get into this. Maybe I'll do it next weekend. To get into, okay, what if you're finding gas just fine? But then what happens? What happens to you and your family and your budget when that EV battery needs to be replaced? Those babies aren't cheap. Are you ready to pay $10,000 or $15,000 more for an EV vehicle over a gas-powered vehicle of the same size and power, and then to turn around in a few years and buy a battery which will cost almost half as much as what the original vehicle did? I'm not interested in that. I don't think you are either. Hey, this week coming up, keep your eyes and ears to the news and see what's happening and what's going on. We will try to mention it. If there's something that you want covered, make sure that you write us during the week. Again, that's Pat Miller, all one word, no dots or dashes, PatMiller@wowo.com. My thanks to David Shea with a C and all the great work that he does, and all the people and the staff here that have made everything possible. More than that, thanks to our guests, and thanks very much to you. This is the Pat Miller program, but we could slap all of your names on the program too. This doesn't work without you, and I will never cease to remember that. We'll see you next Saturday, noon to 3, right here on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.